No, it's good to be with you this morning, and Lurgan, thanks to Ronnie for leading the service for us this morning. We do appreciate that. And also to William for giving the children's talk. I remember going to visit William and Jacqueline at Sandylands, one of the prime sites up there in the area of Kilkeel and district. And William definitely didn't play with the fire engine when I was there, but what he was doing before I came, well, I just don't know about that. I'll leave you to figure that out for yourself. But it's good to see William and to see how it's gone on with the Lord back all those years ago. Let's just have a little word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Son who came into the world to be our Savior. And Lord, we rejoice at this particular time of the year for all the blessings that the Savior's birth brought to each one of us and to the world in general. We thank you that he was born to be a Savior, and we thank you that we know him. Many of us this morning, we know him personally as our own personal Savior, the one who keeps us, the one who walks with us, the one who helps us in so many different situations. And so we praise thee and give thee thanks for your Son today. We've gathered here, our Father, to hear your word and to listen to what you want to say to us. And we ask that by your Spirit that you would lead us this morning, and may your blessing be upon your word. Father, we differ in so many ways, O God. And we ask, O God, that you will come to us individually and minister to our hearts this day. And may we leave this place encouraged and enriched and strengthened in our faith and drawn closer to thee. And so we leave ourselves with thee just now and pray that we might know your blessing for Christ's sake. Amen. Now I want to read three different portions of Scripture with you this morning, one from the Old Testament and two from the New. The first one is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And you remember how that chapter commences. It says here, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." So just before his death, Moses pronounced this blessing upon the 12 tribes of Israel. When we go down to verse 24, it says, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And then we come over into the New Testament and into the letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, and reading at verse number 14. And Paul says here, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And then if you would turn over to the letter to the Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, and we'll take up the reading at verse number 10, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You'll notice that in these three scriptures, they have one thing in common. They all speak of strength. In Deuteronomy, it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Here we find Paul praying for the saints at Ephesus, and he prayed that the might that God would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then when he writes to the Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, as human beings, we need strength to live. We need strength to be able to get up out of our bed in the morning. And we need that physical strength so that we can live, so that we can go about our daily business, so that we can work and do whatever we need to do. So we all need physical strength. We find that not only is there physical strength, but of course there's mental strength. And people may be physically fit, they may be in good shape, they may be in good health and all the rest of it, but we need mental strength, that strength of concentration, to be able to understand things. For example, the long distance runner, as he runs that race, and as he plods on mile after mile after mile, as he gets near the end, he needs that mental strength to help him to push on and to endure the tiredness and the weariness that comes to him. You remember the batsman as he plays that long innings and he seeks to reach 100 runs, and he needs that mental strength the longer his innings go on. Or the student, as they sit in the lecture college at university and the professor's giving a lecture and it's deep and it's difficult and it's long, and they need that mental strength just to hold their concentration. So there's physical strength and there's mental strength. And then, of course, friends, as believers in Christ, there's spiritual strength. And that's the strength that these three particular passages that I've read this morning is referring to. Spiritual strength. Here in Ephesians chapter 13, we have a prayer for strength. Paul is saying to these saints at Ephesus, he says, you know, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is indicating there that when he met with God in prayer, that he got down upon his knees. And you know, it's a great thing to get onto your knees, if you're able to get onto your knees. I know that not everybody is maybe able to get onto their knees. People who maybe have suffered from rheumatoid arthritis or pains or somewhat, and they're just not able now to get onto their knees. And that's fine. And some of the young men that went to Afghanistan, they came back, in a wheelchair. They came back having lost limbs because of some landmine or something like that, and they're not able to get onto their knees. But what Paul is saying here is, you know, if you're able, friends, get onto your knees. When I get up in the morning and go to have my quiet time with the Lord, I get down upon my knees, and I meet with God there and pray to him. If you're able to get onto your knees while you're able, then do as Paul said. I bow my knees, he says. And we find here that the prayer he prayed was that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This strength, he indicates, it came from the Spirit. It was strength for the inner man. It was spiritual strength. And that's the kind of strength that the Christian needs. We need this inner strength. We need this spiritual strength each day. You remember in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter 4:16, Paul talks about the outward man, and he talks about the inward man. And of course, the outward man is the physical man, and the inward man is the spiritual man. And as we go on and get older, the outward man perishes. We have to use glasses. We don't hear maybe as well as we can, because the outward man is perishing. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Many a time I've gone to visit in an old people's home somewhere, and maybe the person you're visiting on, they don't really know who you are. They don't understand what's going on. But then when you begin to read the scriptures with them, or you begin to pray with them, they begin to enter into it. And they're quoting the scriptures that you're reading, and they're saying amen to your prayers, because although the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And you know, friends, as we go through life, as we meet the storms of life, as we face the trials of life, as we go into the valleys, we need spiritual strength. When we meet the tempter and he comes and tempts us with some temptation, we need that spiritual strength to overcome that temptation. When we go through a time of sorrow, or when we go into the battle against the world and the flesh and the devil, we need this spiritual strength. And that's the prayer that Paul is praying for these believers at Ephesus. He knew that they couldn't overcome, they couldn't endure, they couldn't do these things. They needed to be strengthened with this spiritual strength daily in the inner man. So there's a prayer for strength. Prayer for strength. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 33, that's a promise for strength. It says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And when he talks here about thy days, he's not talking about the length of days. Moses is not talking about the length of days. He's not saying, you know, if you live to your 60 or you live to your 70 or 80 or 90, you know, as long as you live, God will give you strength. He's not talking about the length of days. He's talking here about the kind of days. And what the text is saying is, whatever kind of day you have to face. Sometimes we hear people say, you know, I had a terrible day today at work. Or you know, I had a great day today out with my friends. And you know, there's so many different kinds of days that we have to go through, friends. Maybe have to go through a period of sickness. Or maybe a time of bereavement. Or maybe a day of pressure, when the pressures of the business or the pressures of the job are pressing upon you. Or in school, you're going through a time of anxiety. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. God says, I'll give you strength for whatever kind of day you're having to go through. So we find here that there's a prayer for strength, and there's a promise for strength. Now, when we come to the third reading in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's the provider of strength. The provider of strength. You see, God is promising us strength, and Paul is praying for us to have strength. Where do we get that strength from? Where do we obtain it from? Where is the resources that can give us that strength? And Paul is pinpointing it here. And he says, I can do all things through Christ. He is the source of our inner strength. He is the provider of the strength. Remember, Paul was writing here about being content over in chapter 4 of Philippians, if you just turn over to it in your Bible. He was praying here about being content. He says, you know, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My, there's a verse that should challenge all of us. Whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And Paul says, this is something that I have learned. I have learned, he says, to be content. Remember that Paul, the apostle, was greatly used of God, greatly used of the Lord. And he was greatly blessed of God and was gifted of God. But remember that the apostle Paul hadn't it easy. He hadn't it easy. Well, for a start, he had a thorn in the flesh. Many of us believe it was a problem with his eyesight. He had diminishing eyesight. We can pick up those little hints from some of the other epistles like Galatians. And he had a thorn in the flesh. And it troubled him. He longed to get rid of it. It was hindering him. And he had prayed to the Lord to remove it from him. Not only had he a thorn in the flesh, but he had to contend with carnal Christians like the Corinthians, who were always criticizing and picking up little things which was nonsensical and all the rest of it. My, there was persecution that came his way. There was pain, there was poverty, there was perils, there was many hardships that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But he had learned in whatever state he was or whatever he was having to face or go through, he had learned to be content. He had learned to be content. You see, friends, I believe that the great apostle Paul, he came to this state of contentment because he realized his own weakness. He realized his own helplessness. He realized his own need. He realized that although he had all these great gifts and blessings that God had bestowed upon him, he came to the place where he realized that he was nothing. And he came to the place where he realized his total dependence upon God. And that's a great place to come to. You know, we first see here first his contentment. He had learned to be content. And then we see his confidence. No matter what state he was in, he was content. And that gave him this contentment. What gave him the contentment? I believe, the fact that the presence of Christ was with him. I believe that Paul knew that the power of Christ was upon him. He realized that the promises of Christ were there for him to hold on to. And the provision of Christ was Christ's strength. And when he realized that the presence of Christ and the power of Christ and the promises of Christ was there for him, he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This was this inner strength, this spiritual strength that he needed, this spiritual inner strength that you and I need as we go through the Christian pathway. Wonder, friends, are you content this morning? Are you content? Whatever's going on in your life, maybe you're going through a hard time. I wonder, have you this confidence? Can you say with the apostle, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I can face that operation. I can face that storm through Christ. Christ can give me that strength. Let me do it like this for you this morning. You know, friends, he strengthens me. He strengthens me in my walk with God. There's one thing certain, that if we're living the Christian life, we'll not live it in our own strength. Because if we try to live it in our own strength, we'll not belong until we're knocked down and brought to our senses. We'll not live it in our own strength. We'll fail and fall if we do. We need that help from the Lord. And one thing is clear, that to walk with God and to live the Christian life as we should, it involves suffering. It involves suffering. You need to get a hold of that from the very beginning, friend. You know, if you read Peter's first epistle, you'll find the first epistle's all about suffering. All about suffering. He talks about suffering as a Christian. Suffering as a Christian. You know, there's many people in our world this morning, at this very moment, and they're suffering because they're a Christian. That's going on. People are suffering because they're a Christian. Because they identify themselves with the Son of God, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are in jail, in prison, because they're a Christian. Some are being denied their freedom and other things because they're a Christian. And it could soon come here, friends, to this very province of ours, to this very nation of ours, when to become a Christian, you're going to have to really suffer for it far more than what we do. Peter talked about suffering because as a Christian. And then you remember he talked about suffering wrongfully. And none of us like to suffer wrongfully, but sometimes it happens. And then he talked about suffering for righteousness' sake. Suffering for righteousness' sake. It just simply means suffering because you believe in that which is right. It means suffering because you believe in doing that which is right. And it means that you suffer because you believe that you should stand for that which is right and stand against that which is wrong and evil and sinful. And that's one kind of suffering that we are experiencing today. We are experiencing that today. You know, many of the things that are acceptable in modern day society does not tally with the teaching of the Word of God. For example, marriage and other things, style of life. People have a right and freedom to live as they want, to do as they want, to believe as they want. But friends, I have also the liberty to disagree. And today we're finding that when people want to do that which is right, they have to suffer for it. When you stand for that which is right, which is taught in the Word of God, we have to suffer for it. And people have experienced that today. And Peter's talking here about suffering for righteousness' sake. A wee girl in the office, a call came through from a top businessman for her boss. So she puts the call through, or tries to put it through, to her boss in the office next to her. And he comes back to her and he says, "Tell him I'm not in. Tell him I'm not in." And the young lass was a Christian. And she wondered, just on that few seconds that she had, what she was going to do. And very quickly, I'm sure the Lord must have helped her at that particular time. But she answered and she said to the man, "Sir, he's busy at the moment. He'll get back to you when he can." You see, friend, she was standing for that which is right. She wasn't prepared to tell lies because it was not right? Are we suffering for that which is right? Peter talks about suffering. My dear friends, our walk with God involves suffering. And our walk with God, it involves sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote that great letter to the Romans, and as he goes through the chapters and underlines all the great doctrines and all the great blessings of salvation that come to us through the cross, the great blessing of redemption and substitution, the great blessing of propitiation, the great blessing of justification. And he underlines in that great epistle, all the many blessings we have in Christ. And then when he comes to chapter 12, and he's beginning to bring everything together and to gather it up to make the application, he says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God are from chapter 1 to chapter 11, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you know, friends, the Christian life or walk involves sacrifice. Are you prepared to put your life, or have you got to that place yet in your Christian walk? Have you got to that place yet where you're able to come and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee? Have you presented your body this morning a living sacrifice, just as the priests offered up the sacrifices upon the altar in the temple? Have you offered up your body a living sacrifice on the altar this morning? Our walk, the Christian life, involves suffering. The Christian life involves sacrifice. The Christian life involves separation or identification with Christ. You remember the writer to the Hebrews talked about Jesus suffering outside the camp, and he says, let us therefore go on to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Brethren and sisters, this morning, where are we? Are we outside the camp or are we in the camp? Are we still in the world? Are we still hanging on to the things of the world? Or have we identified ourselves with Jesus Christ outside the camp? They crucified him outside the gate. They crucified him there. Are you standing with Christ this morning? Do you identify yourself as a believer wherever you are or wherever you go in the street where you live? Are you identifying yourself with Christ? My dear friends, to do this work, to walk the Christian walk, he strengthens me. He gives me that inner strength. We need that inner strength, that spiritual strength, in our walk with God, to sacrifice, to suffer, and to separate ourselves unto him. You know, he strengthens me in my work for God. Strengthens me in my work for God. You know, to do any kind of work, you need strength. To do any kind of work. And you know that if you've been ill, maybe had the flu, or maybe had to go through an operation, or been down with an illness or so, you just don't recover overnight. It takes you maybe days or weeks for your body to recover and get back to its normal ability after that operation or after that treatment that you've had to go through. It takes a while to get back to your normal strength. And you know, friends, he strengthens me in my work for God. Because in God's work, or to do God's work, we need this inner strength, the spiritual strength. You know, the Apostle Paul probably was the greatest servant of God that ever lived. One thinks of the ground he covered, thousands of miles. One thinks of the people he led to Christ. One thinks of the churches he established. One thinks of the suffering and the hardship he endured. How did Paul do so much? How was he able to travel so far? How was he able to be involved in so many of these things? I believe, when you read his testimony in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, in verse 22, he says this, "Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue to this day." You might say, "Paul, how did you travel so far with diminishing eyesight? How did you preach with such power?" And he says, "You know, I obtained help from God." He says, "The Lord helped me. The Lord was with me. The Lord empowered me." Paul did it with God's help, and he did it with Christ's strength. You see, to work the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord is like a laborer laboring in a field. And all of those you hear who labor in the field, the farming community, you know how much strength you need to labor in the field. The work of God is like a laborer laboring in the field. Work of God is like an athlete running in the race, and you need strength for that. The work of God is like a soldier fighting in the battle, and you need strength for that. Friends, there's one thing and it's sure, and it's this. You cannot do the Lord's work in your own strength. Because if you try to do it in your own strength, it will come to naught. It will come to naught. We need this inner strength. Through Christ, we get strength to work for the Lord. My dear friends, he strengthens me in my walk with God. He strengthens me in my work for God. He strengthens me in my witness for God. When we became followers, one of the things the Lord asked us to do was to become his witnesses. Become his witnesses. Said to the apostles, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." And he says, you know, the first place you need to witness is at home. Remember the man that was possessed with the legion of demons? The Lord gloriously delivered him. And then he wanted to go and follow Jesus and go where he was going. And the Lord said, before you do that, you need to go home to your friends and tell them what I've done for you. Dear friends, witnesses, yes, people that go to the far-flung corners of the globe, God bless them, and we should pray for them and support them all that we can. But remember this, that you need to witness at home. You need to witness in the work in the morning. You need to witness by your life. And you know, witnessing is probably a difficult thing for many people. I remember times being asked to go to visit people in who had been in hospital and they weren't saved and they were seriously ill, and their loved ones would come to me and they would say, "You know, I wonder, would you go and see my mother? She's not saved yet. And, you know, I wonder, would you be able to talk to her?" Well, friends, not easy. You've never met someone before. They don't even come to your church. And I used to drive into the car park of the hospital. And before I got out, I used to just bow my head and say, Lord, I don't know this woman or this man, but Lord, would you help me? Would you help me just to witness for you? He gives me strength. He strengthens me in my walk with God. He strengthens me in my work for God. He strengthens me in my witness for God. And he strengthens me in the warfare for God. In the warfare. Friends, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare against all the powers of hell. And you're in that spiritual warfare 24/7, 365 days in the year. My, the devil never takes a holiday. He never takes a rest. We're in a spiritual warfare, and the Apostle Paul emphasizes that in the writing of his epistles. He refers to Christians as soldiers. Talks about the weapons that we have and the armor he has given us. My dear friends, we need strength for the warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, wicked spirits in high places. My, what an enemy comes against each one of us day by day. And we need strength. And our own strength's no good. Paul says, listen, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, being found standing. He says you need to put on the girdle of truth. We need truth for the battle. You face the devil and his emissaries on the basis not of your own, not of your own intellect, not in your own education. You face the enemy on the basis of the truth of the Word of God. That's where we stand, on the Word of God. And we need to put on, he says, the breastplate of righteousness, this righteousness that has been imputed to us through Christ, Christ's righteousness, we're justified. Well, the world needs to see that righteousness being lived out in my life every day. He says, put on the shoes of the gospel. A whole lot of places now, they don't have a gospel meeting. Say, you don't need to preach the gospel now. Well, the Lord told us to preach the gospel, and we should be still preaching the gospel until he tells us not to preach it. It's sad that so many places throughout our land today that there'd be no gospel service in a whole lot of churches. That's the reality of it, friends. That's the reality of it. If God has blessed you here with a good of the evangelical service, you should be thankful for it. And he says here, my, not only the shoes of the gospel, but take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. My time is gone this morning. My dear friends, the Lord gives us strength. Paul realized his weakness, his helplessness, his insufficiency in so many things. But he fully understood the sufficiency of the Lord. And thank God, the Lord who saved us, he didn't ask us to live for him in his own strength, in our own strength. He didn't ask us, to work for him in our own strength. He didn't ask us to witness for him in our own strength or be in the battle in our own strength. My, Christ is the provider of the strength that you and I need for today and tomorrow. A prayer for strength, that we might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. My, a promise, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the provider of strength for you and me is Christ himself. My dear friends, as you face the days ahead, remember you can do all things through Christ. You can face the storm. You can win the battle. You can be more than conqueror through him that loved you. May you know that inner strength in your life each day. May the Lord bless his word.